Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to this, the January 8th, 2025 edition of the Healing Sound Show. I am Jonathan Goldman.
And I am Andy Goldman.
And we have a fabulous show today with our esteemed guest, Dr. Rolla McCready. Andy, would you tell us about Dr.
I
McCready?
I would love to tell our audience about Dr. McCready. Roland McCready, PhD, is Director of Research of the HeartMath Research Center at the HeartMath Institute. As a psychophysiologist, Dr. McCready's research includes the physiology of emotion, heart-brain communication, and the global interconnectivity between people and the Earth's energetic systems. Dr. McCready has acted as principal investigator in numerous studies examining the effects of emotions on heart-brain interactions. Dr. McCready has been featured in a number of documentary films, such as The Truth, The Power of the Heart, The Living Matrix, among so many others. He is the author and collaborator of numerous books, including Science of the Heart. And it is our great honor and joy to welcome you back to our show, Dr. McCready. Thank you so much for being with us today. We are delighted to just jump in and find all about your research and all about you, Dr. McCready.
Roland, hello.
Hello, hello. I have to get a shorter bio, I think, but that's pretty short, but it's great to be back, Andy and Jonathan. So,
well, what a blessing. And Roland, I mean, the first thing I want to say is that since we've known each other and since I've been aware of the energy of HeartMath, literally, awareness of HeartMath has really exponentially grown. And it's been just an amazing phenomenon to see this awareness. So we are grateful to be able to bring more awareness of HeartMath and your work to the public, as we always do. So to begin, how did you get where you are now? You are, if you like, one of the purveyors of great wisdom of using, like, if you like, breath visualization, whatnot, to create some sort of energetic link between the heart and the brain. Where did that come from? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Missouri, actually, in the, I guess it would be the northwestern corner, kind of along the Missouri River. I was a small child on a small family farm. It was where I had my first years. So,
how did you get into, what is your background in terms of how you got into, because we'll talk about HeartMath in a minute, but I'd love to just see you and let people find out more about you and how you got to this crazy place.
Well, oh boy, that's probably too long of a story, but
I was born in a log cabin.
I guess I was kind of incarnated as a very curious, adventurous, and little kid and soul, and get out of, I grew up on a small farm, and my parents actually went and got nursing degrees and got into nursing home and hospital management, that kind of thing, and we moved to Nebraska. And so to get out of small town Nebraska, I actually joined the military right out of high school, and My grandfather was the town mechanic for the little town, little farming community. So I kind of grew up learning about mechanical stuff from a very early age. And, you know, taking how motors and engines worked and transmissions and all that, you know, from about 3 years old till I was probably around 10 or so. And so I kind of had that background and, always had a curiosity of, how things work, right? So, and so I joined the military, and because of that background, I was actually, boy, I've never told it, gotten into this level of this before, but, so you have to take these aptitude tests when you join the military. And I was literally the first wave of the all-volunteer army.
Whoa.
The first, very first, right? So they were still figuring that all out. And at that time, they were making it pretty, you know, they really want you to sign up, right? So you got to choose what your job would be and where you would go and all that, as long as you passed the right aptitude tests and all that for that. So, the recruiter told me I scored not only in the top 1%, the top of percent of the 1% on certain aptitudes for electrical type stuff. So, I literally chose what job I would have. I had absolutely no idea what it was. I said, okay, I went down the list and found the longest school, in electronics that you could get, which was about a year and a half of my 3 year commitment. I was in school, which ended up being surface air missile systems, top level support. So I spent a year and a half at Redstone Arsenal in Alabama, learning how these things work. And so anyway, I was deployed in Germany and, so used the GI Bill when I got out, I had a lot of fun actually. I grew up fast and had a lot of fun in that era, to be honest. And, so I was getting flown around in helicopters I don't know how deep to go into this, but I never told this story publicly before, but it's actually a true story of the military's wisdom. I was in at that time, the surface to air missile system was called the Hawk missile system. This is the predecessor to Patriots and all the stuff we have now. And this was right, so this is in the early 70s, and right when technology was transforming from tube technology to the first integrated, well, not even integrated circuits quite yet, but, you know, transistors and that kind of stuff. And so I was in the first class taught how to fix these things, you know, this new system. But they had already deployed the new systems without anybody in the field that knew how to work on them. And this is the Army's wisdom. it's a true story, actually. So I arrived in Germany the middle of the height of the Cold War, right? So, our first line of defense and our air defense systems weren't working.
Dear, dear.
I probably shouldn't tell this story, but it's true.
It's fascinating, Roland.
out of my class, there were about two of us out of about 20 that actually could really fix anything, you know, as new recruits, you know, in that field. So I actually had a helicopter assigned to me and a helicopter pilot to fly me around to missile sites. So I was top level support. I'm the guy that went out and fixed things when they couldn't figure out how to fix it in the local missile sites. So I had a good time, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely, Roland. And you know what? It's fascinating to hear your background and your backstory, because it's a perfect segue into now understanding why you are such a profound researcher with HeartMath. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that.
Well, the next part of that is when I got back, I used the GI benefits and went to University of Nebraska and to become an electrical systems engineer. And then was always asking questions like, well, because my own curiosity, well, what is a magnetic field or an electric field or a gravitational field? And it was very unfulfilling, frankly, because I would always get the formulas. I'm, no, I get that. That describes how it behaves. I want to know what it is.
Hmm.
And no, don't ask that. It was kind of more or less, you know, kind of brushed off. And that was never very satisfying. And that led me to a book I ran across in a bookshop at the University of Nebraska. Actually, I kind of even remember where that was. was talking about consciousness and radionics and some of these kind of things. And I said, huh, this is starting to get at some of that deeper curiosity. So I ended up moving to California to get a degree in consciousness studies.
Where was that?
It was in Boulder Creek, California. So this would have been late 70s. And it was the first degree, you know, official degree, accredited degree granting, probably that did that back then. I don't know of any others at that time. And so I did that, and then I got introduced through that world. I mean, I learned about meditation and, you know, all this, you know, this is and that's, and forgotten almost all of that now. But not true. But, so got introduced to spirulina. And
Chris Hills.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually started the company that stole spirulina to the health food stores. The first, so I was, we were the first wave of introducing that to the world. And that in 1982, I'm horrible with past memory of dates, but I remember that one because National Enquirer did a front page story on this stuff that on spirulina, basically they had big block letters. Doctors praise safe new diet pill. Lose weight or never be hungry again.
Right.
And in the next 2 weeks, I sold about $20 million worth of spirulina.
Wow.
Wow.
We built it up to, we were doing about $150,000 a month, which wasn't bad for a green algae trying to sell to people right through health food stores. And so we took the profits of that and went to Southern California to, in the deserts, to prove you could grow spirulina and feed the world's hungry populations. That was the most, that was really what was behind that, that organization and the humanitarian stuff. Wasn't my, that was, like you said, Christopher Hill's vision, but, and we had a warehouse full of the stuff, so we were able to fulfill those orders. That's a whole other sub story of how that went in that short time period, but basically we pulled, we did it way ahead of our time. Yeah, but it went nowhere in terms of feeding the world's hungry populations. Absolutely nowhere.
Roland, well, I have to just interject. It was very helpful what ground you laid with spirulina because to this day I take it every day.
All right. Well, I don't, but that's all right. anyway, the point of that, the reason I spend most of our time is getting into my story here, but was, you know, here I am, I've got a degree in consciousness studies, and I meditate, and blah, 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 blah. And so in hindsight, that's kind of when I would, in looking back, and would now say that's when my idealism bubble got kind of popped, because I realized, no, it really is about consciousness, because we had the technology to feed people. That wasn't the problem. It was blocked at political levels, you know, the bureaucracies, this, and you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. And so I basically said, well, the heck with this. It's not exactly the word I used, but humanitarian stuff, I'm going to go make money again. So I started a company in electrostatics, which grew from a garage or one of those garage startups to, I think in our third year, we were doing $15 million a year, something like that.
Mm.
And it was, I mean, I'm leaving a lot out here, but kind of the highlights. So after that, and then don't get me wrong, it was a lot of fun, you know, have a rapidly growing company and, you know,
all the
world and stuff. But there was a deeper part of me that another sports car in the driveway wasn't going to fill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, couldn't quite name it then, but, you know, I'm a lot more wise now to what was going on then. And that's when I, through the spirulina connection, friends and things, met Doc Childre, the founder of HeartMath. And he was on the East Coast, and I was back there in the Research Triangle area doing some business for that company. And I'll go meet this character, spend an hour or so, and, you know. And I think I left 3 days later. and that's really when, if I'm really honest, I would say that Doc facilitated my first, real heart awakening to faded into another level of awareness, consciousness, to where you're really connected with, you know, how, another dimension of awareness.
What year was that, Roland? About?
Oh, that would have been 1987, actually.
Okay. Yeah. There was a great awakening going on at that point, I think.
Yeah, so, but I, you know, I realized I didn't know crap about the heart, you know, even though, you know, it's because it's taught on all the consciousness stuff, you know, the heart's this and that, but it's really, I think most people look at all that stuff as, well, those silly, you know, people think of it as a metaphor, and it's not, it's really, really about the brain and what's this heart stuff, but, that's where I had a, and that's, you know, you can never describe experiences to people, other than, you know, to realize that I really didn't know anything about what the heart really was before that. And anyway, so anyway, once you experience it, then you go, well, okay, this heart stuff is real.
Mm. And I think at that time, too, Roland, no one really knew too much about what the heart really was about, metaphorically.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, it's all, I mean, you know, it's the central theme of Buddhism. I mean, so many systems talk about the heart, but they don't really understand it's what I'm trying to say here, that it really is, you know, it's the way I would talk about it these days. If I can't necessarily prove this yet scientifically, but I have experienced it. And we do have studies that are pretty strongly suggestive of this, too. And they, basically, we have two hearts. Right, you have the physical heart, and even at the physical heart level, it's far more than a pump. In fact, a lot of, you know, if we're really real, it's probably not really even a pump, even at the physical level. But the then we have the we call it the energetic heart. It's been called the spiritual heart for thousands of years in a lot of traditions. So I'm just suggesting that the energetic heart is real. It's not a metaphor. It's real structure and a really complex system that is the center of our energetic systems. So maybe help that make sense. We're clearly multidimensional beings, right? We have to be to any kind of living system. And so that's the energetic heart is the bridge, probably be the simplest word I could use here, between our higher dimensional selves, whether you want to call that your higher self, you know, your soul, your spirit, the God within, whatever, it doesn't matter what. Different cultures have their different languages for it. So the bridge really is really the bridge between those two worlds. So the great philosophies, and, you know, the heart is, in all the great philosophies of the world say this. This is not a new concept. It's just that what we're starting to be able to do now is put some science to it to say, no, this is actually real. This is the way we're wired. And so as we get more what we... physiologically speaking, would say in a heart coherent state, it helps open that channel between, you know, our humanist, you know, our three-dimensional mind awareness and our higher dimensional self. And as we open that channel, that's what elevates our consciousness and awareness to the next ring up or the next level.
I want to get back to the fact that you were really interested when you first started studying electricity and magnetism and whatnot in fields. And that ultimately is where you're at now, in terms of the field being generated by our body and our heart and stuff like that. And did that evolve from working with, Doc Wu?
Doc Childry. Well, yeah, I would say so. I mean, you know, after I met Doc in 87, I started practicing this heart stuff. This is long before HeartMath existed as an organization or any of the formal techniques. In my company, you know, I had about 80 employees at that point that I reported that were directly under me, something like that. And, you know, I'd been meditating, you know, for quite a few years at this point, and I can honestly say that, and don't get me wrong, I got a lot out of meditation, but that I made more personal growth in 3 months once I really took the heart stuff seriously than I had in years of meditative practices. So following my own heart or higher, larger self, as we call it here, guidance, I basically sold that company to the employees so I could do it quickly and then help Doc found HeartMath, him and a bunch of other people.
Nice. We are going to be going into a commercial in the... in about a minute or so, but we're talking with Dr. Roland McCready, who is head of research, director of research at HeartMath, and we haven't talked really much about HeartMath yet, but we're going to do that in our next session in about 1 minute, can you perhaps do a time-space continuum leap and tell us how you how heart math manifested first in a minute?
And then we'll get more into it in our next section for sure.
Well, I mean, heart math is really a system, I would say, of very simple techniques, purposely made simple so they can anyone can benefit from them, and technologies to help you gain those skills to really open the heart and connect with your larger self, which is a rapid way of expanding consciousness and awareness.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, we are talking with Dr. Roland McCready. I am Jonathan Goldman.
And I'm Andy Goldman. And to get more information about Roland, go to heartmath.org. And Roland, we can't wait to get back after commercial break to delve more deeply into some of these techniques and more information for our audience about heart math and heart-brain coherence.
So we'll see you real soon. Experience the power of vibroacoustic sound therapy with the new VibroTuners from me, Jonathan Goldman. When applied to the body, this set of tuning forks creates deeply resonant harmonic frequencies that bring healthy vibrations to your cells. You'll experience a sonic massage that is soothing and healing. Try the VibroTuners from HealingSounds.com.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, it is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness. You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have seven chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration to put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
You're listening to CHSR, Real Radio on the Web.
And we're back. I'm Jonathan Goldman.
And I'm Andy Goldman.
And we're with Dr. Roland McCready, and we're talking about heart math and other things, field and consciousness intensive. Roland, you were talking a little bit about heart math and how it basically creates different techniques for heart-brain sort of coherence. Could you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Okay. For talking at the physiological level, I mean, there's way more to this than we can cover in our 8-minute segment here, but probably start by understanding that the heart sends far more information to the brain through the nervous system than the brain sends to the heart. And that's not some new discovery I made or something. This has been known since the late 1800s. And so it used to be thought, if we go back in history here, the history of psychophysiology, that William James, this guy's name that he understood what we're talking about here. And that, in fact, the first psychological systems were based on knowing that the body, the heart and the body sent information to the brain and the brain responded and so on. That all changed in the 1920s, late 20s. And it all became about the brain. And this is right at the first hormones were being discovered around this time. So there was a pretty big vacuum of knowledge that, you know, from today's world looking back. So a lot of, I would say, mistakes got made in that era. But it all became about the brain. And the nervous system was, you know, the autonomic nervous system was kind of considered this dumb thing that was just there for the brain to tell the body what to do. They didn't really know that 80%, well, really 80 to 90% of the nerves in the autonomic system, the vagal system, was actually afferent or ascending from the body to the brain. And it wasn't, in the 1970s, the paradigm started shifting back to a more balanced perspective when it was discovered that the heart didn't always obey these signals from the brain like they thought, and it acted like it had a mind of its own. And not only that, that the signals from that were traveling from the heart to the brain modulated our perception. We could change how we see the world, and this was radical at the time. And so those researchers won lots of career awards finally. I mean, this was not an easy paradigm. They were going against a pretty entrenched paradigm, but I mean, nobody believes that anymore. You know, what their work really shifted that paradigm. So we really, I mentioned that because my work built on the shoulders of some pretty great pioneers in this field. And then we were able to then extend their work pretty dramatically in some ways to show that the brain does, that the longer rhythms of the heart, we now call heart coherence, does go to all major brain centers. And so when we get in, when the heart's in what we call a coherent rhythm, a coherent state, that enhances brain function. And it's, then if we take that where I was talking about earlier, that how the heart is also connected to our larger self, it's a way that we, nothing wrong with the brains, right? I mean, I want a brain and I want it to work well. So getting coherent is the brain's the big winner, right? So about every kind of brain function you can think of, from memory to making better choices, is facilitated when the heart and brain are literally synchronized. So we've also developed analysis techniques for measuring how in sync the heart and brain are, the activity of those two organs. So they're now probably, I don't really count this stuff, but one of our other colleagues does, over 500 independent studies that have been based on our work now, that show when you teach people, that's what the heart math techniques are, is how to get into this heart coherent state, how that facilitates about everything you can possibly think of in our day-to-day lives. Hope that made some sense, the way I was trying to weave that together for
you. Totally. It's so fascinating, and love to hear more about what aspects of the brain the heart can affect. But I want to get into more about the field effect now of the heart and the brain.
All right, so this is where my past background in, I used to work for Motorola, right? After I got out of the military, that's where I went to work as a communication engineer, right? So we we know a lot about how to use fields, electromagnetic fields. This is the basis of any communication device, cell phones, radios, TVs, right? We broadcast. We encode information that are carried by fields, right? So as it turns out, let me say it this way, I'm trying to conserve time here. When we put electrodes on the body to measure the heartbeat, the electrocardiogram, or we stick them on your head to measure brain waves, the electroencephalograph, they're called electrode because we're measuring electricity. So those electrodes measure current flow, is what they actually measure. But whenever you have a flow of current, you create a magnetic field. I mean, this is physics 101, right? Now, electric and magnetic fields are different things. We call it electromagnetism, but they have very different properties. And one of the qualities of a magnetic field is they go through things. That's why cell phones work indoors, right? It's the magnetic component that's going through the walls and the windows and carrying the information, your voice, or your text message, whatever, from your phone to the cell tower. Well, I would the older I get, the more I realize that nature beat us to all this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All the technology we have, nature's already done in different ways. So when the heartbeat, when we measure that current flow, that the magnetic component that's generated, those fields easily extend, go right through the skin and extend out into the space around us. Now, how do I know that? Well, I can measure them, right? And it's done. In fact, there are devices that larger hospitals all have them. They're called MCGs, which stands for magnetocardiograms. You put sensors around the body. You don't have to touch the body. You're measuring the magnetic field, right? So you can back those sensors up. I mean, you don't do it in practical, you know, day-to-day practices because you want to have a high signal-to-noise ratio, but you can back these magnetic sensors up quite a few feet and still detect the heartbeat. Right, you can back them up from the brain about an inch before you lose that capacity to detect the signal. So when we're talking energetics, energetically, magnetically, the heart's clearly the big player. It's the broadcaster. Now, we were able to measure the fields and then the magnetic fields of the heart, and then using almost the same techniques I used to use back in my Motorola days to decode, right, the information being carried by a radio transmitter, almost exactly the same techniques to show that the field of the heart is carrying information about our emotional state. So I can measure the field, put a probe out here in front of you or behind you, anywhere, it doesn't matter, and measure the magnetic field and decode the information and tell with about 75-80% accuracy what somebody's feeling, what their emotions are, just by the patterns, the vibrational patterns of the emotional information. So that was pretty cool, you know, and then the next step was to, and I was really shocked that nobody had ever done that before, right? I mean, we looked at the, you know, searched all the literature and nobody had ever done
cutting that. Cutting edge.
So, yeah, but it was pretty simple. This was not rocket science, you know, if you come back from an engineering, you know, communication engineering background. So the next step in that line, this is going back to the 90s for us, but was to ask, well, okay, that's cool, but so what? Does that affect, or can other people detect and decode those signals and measurably affected by them? That was also pretty straightforward and easy to do. So taking a lot of that, those years of research and crunching it down, what I'm saying is that there is, of course, we communicate emotions through our body language and the tones of our voice and facial expressions, of course, but there's also an energetic aspect to this that's often more important than all the other stuff. That we're communicating with others through these energetic communications. And this is really important when it comes to a lot of things. But miscommunications, if you're feeling one thing and saying something else and there's a mismatch, guess what our physiology is detecting and unconsciously processing? Right, we feel the anxiety that somebody has. So then, if they're saying something, you know, that's out of sync with that, well, then we end up mistrusting that.
We need to go to commercial right now, and then we're going to come back in this absolutely fascinating topic with Dr. Roland McCready.
I'm Andy Goldman. We are here on the Healing Sounds Show, January 8th. We will be right back. Stay with us.
And if you want to find out more about Dr. McCready's work, heartmath.org. Go there. It's fabulous.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have 7 chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, "It is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness." You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of connecting with the energy of the earth? Would you like to be able to tune your mind and your body to this extraordinary healing frequency? Try the Gaia Frequency Tuning Forks, available at HealingSounds.com and at Amazon. Exclusively designed by me, Jonathan Goldman, these tuning forks might just change your life.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
I'm Jonathan Goldman, and
I'm Andy, and we are here with Dr. Roland McCready of the Heart Math Research Center.
And Roland, we've been talking about the heart and the brain, the power of the heart, and how, for example, people can perceive if somebody is, shall we say, speaking one thing and feeling another. And, I mean, this is just amazing stuff, but I wanted to ask you, first and foremost, in terms of the heart-brain, what we call coherence, synchronization between the two of them. Number one, why is this important? And what can people do to achieve this state?
Well, it's important for a lot of reasons. So at the brain level, for information to be smoothly processed and accurately perceived, and by that I mean, by information, I mean what we see, hear, smell, touch, etc., the neural structures in the brain have to be synchronized for information to flow through them properly. And when we're out of sync, those systems get disrupted. I'll give you an example. The frontal part of our brain, frontal prefrontal cortex, one of my mentors that I learned a lot from about the brain is a guy named Carl Pribram, pretty famous guy, actually. He's considered the father of modern cognitive neuroscience. And what I learned from him is we think about those frontal areas of the brain, what they give us, the benefit that that gives us as human beings, that, you know, our beloved pets, you know, horses and dogs and cats don't have, is they have great memory of the past. They don't have what's called foresight. That's what that part of the brain gives us. So the ability to discriminate appropriate behavior. Not a good idea to yell at the boss if you want to keep your job, right? Foresight. In other words, how we think, feel, and our behaviors in the now are going to affect the future. So there's a lot of things that come after it under that. Goal, setting goals, planning, you know, appreciating when you've achieved a goal. All of this is under that. Abstract thinking is all part of these frontal areas. So it took a lot of labs, a lot of years that we were involved in this to sort out the actual mechanisms. But it all boils down to synchronization. For those neural systems and structures in the brain to perform optimally, they have to be well synchronized, the neural activity. Now, as I mentioned, the heart sends more information to the brain, right, than the other way around. So what some of our early research showed that when it's really all about emotions. Emotions run the show. So when we're feeling, you know, what people call stress, which really you say, well, what is stress? Well, it's feelings of frustration, anxiety, overwhelm, impatience, etc., you know, the list. Those throw our system quite literally and measurably into a state of desynchronization. And that shows up very quickly and easily in the rhythm of the heart. Now, that neural signal is going to the thalamus, and the thalamus is what controls how synchronized the neural activity in the brain is. So when we're in that desynchronized state, those neural structures, especially in the frontal cortex, don't process information smoothly. They get taken offline, basically. So to ground this, and you know, not that you guys would ever have had this experience, when you maybe get a little mad at each other,
No, never.
Right, that you say and do something that, you know, a minute later you're going, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. I didn't even mean it, really. Right? Well, that's called cortical inhibition, a term coined back in the 70s to describe the effects of the heart, the causal effects that the heart has on the brain. On the other hand, if you're in a heart coherent state, that coherent pattern of neural information now going to the thalamus enhances its capacity to have to globally synchronized activity in the brain. So now we think a lot better, right? A lot clearer, make better decisions. Reaction times are faster, all this kind of stuff that people would care about, right? So the trick is learning to, when we start feeling those stressful feelings, like the impatience or the frustration or anxiety, that's where the heart math techniques, which I'll share one with you, come in, because that allows us to shift our physiology into this coherent state. All right, so all those brain systems are now enhanced above and beyond our normal walking around state. And that saves a lot of stress, reduces a lot of stress and saves a lot of energy. Right, so we have more vitality. It facilitates the body's natural healing processes. So people are able to recover more quickly from a wide range of health challenges that have already been clinically proven. You know, I say these 500 plus studies. Students do better in school, better at remembering where we put our car keys, right? So memory is enhanced, these types of things.
What's an easy way that somebody can sort of achieve this? So what are some ways that people can create this effect for themselves?
Yeah, so when you're feeling... Well, it doesn't have to be when you're just necessarily feeling stressed. Anytime you want to do this, first step is we call it heart-focused breathing, right? Because breathing is something we can consciously change. And so breathing techniques have been around for thousands of years. But we actually have when we look at the physiology, it's called a resonant frequency. And this has to do with the neural activity between the heart, lungs, and brain. Right, so it's a rhythm that's optimal for the body to function at. This what we call the coherence frequency now. So heart-focused breathing, you focus your attention in the center of your chest and pretend you're breathing in and out of the heart or chest area. You breathe a little slower and deeper than usual, but find a rhythm that's comfortable. Okay, now that focus of attention in the center of the chest is important. We don't have time to go into all the reasons for that. And for most, the center of that, for humanity, that frequency, our resonant frequency is around, in frequency language, it's 0.1 hertz. But to translate that into time, it's a 10-second rhythm. So if you breathe about 4 or 5 seconds on the in-breath, don't hold your breath, and 4 or 5 seconds on the out-breath, breathing at that rhythm, okay? So breathe deeper and slower, but I don't want people to be counting. I'm just giving you that because that keeps you stuck in the head. You're trying to shift to the heart. Now, the next step, this is a technique called shift and lift that I'm going to share with you that you can use anytime, anywhere, when you're in a conversation with somebody. This will be great for you guys when you're doing radio show interviews and things. But to activate feelings of kindness, appreciation, a genuine connection or an attitude of deep listening. And just as you're doing the heart-focused breathing, just breathe, add that feeling to the breath. Now that's starting to shift your energetic system, right, into a more coherence. Now the next step is radiate those heart qualities to raise your vibration and help lift the energy field environment that surrounds you.
So basically, Roland,
is that it?
That's it.
Beautiful. I was going to say, basically, that is very succinctly put for this very powerful way that we can truly tune our bodies, our hearts, and our brains into coherence.
Exactly. But also, when you're doing that, you're also connecting with that larger part of yourself, that higher intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to add this because you didn't ask me yet, but I think it's an important link. I saw you have an interview coming up with Roger Nilsson coming up.
Good. Yeah. Mine.
But you asked me about the fields of the heart, right, earlier. And so that rhythm, that 10-second rhythm, I just told you to breathe that.
Yeah.
0.1 hertz frequency. Well, that happens to be the same resonant frequency as the vibrating magnetic fields of Earth. Right, so we have the geomagnetic field, right? We all know that, right? The North Pole, the South Pole, thing your compasses, you know, react to and tune into. Well, those magnetic field lines, you can pluck them and they act like guitar strings, right? So what's plucking the fields of Earth is the solar wind coming by. Earth is turning, sun's turning, the solar wind is coming by at about 1 million miles per hour is plucking the strings. Well, their resonant frequency, the primary resonant frequency of Earth, is also 0.1 hertz. So when we are in that coherent rhythm, that coherent state, we're also our vibration, and you guys are way into music, right? So you understand resonance.
Yeah.
Right? So when you have two tuning forks of the same frequency, you know, you tap one and the other magically starts to vibrate, right, without ever touching it. That's resonant coupling. Well, so that it's pretty easy, I think, for people to understand through that, that two systems that vibrate at the same frequency, you can transfer energy and information between them, right? So what I've just shared with you is when we're in a coherent heart rhythm, our magnetic field environment, our personal magnetic fields are vibrating at the same frequency as the primary frequencies of Earth. So that leads to what I call a global information field that we're all contributing to.
We're going to be back in a couple of minutes to continue our talk with Dr. Roland McCrady about this incredibly fascinating subject. Speak to you real soon, folks. I'm Jonathan Goldman.
I'm Andy Goldman.
And we'll be back in a minute.
Stay with us.
Experience the power of vibroacoustic sound therapy with the new vibro-tuners from me, Jonathan Goldman. When applied to the body, this set of tuning forks creates deeply resonant harmonic frequencies that bring healthy vibrations to your cells. You'll experience a sonic massage that is soothing and healing. Try the vibro-tuners from HealingSounds.com.
Do you want to experience the powerful benefits of sound healing? Read The Humming Effect by Jonathan Goldman and Andy Goldman. Discover how the simplest sounds may be the most profound. Dr. Bruce Lipton has said, "It is a powerful non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness." You can find The Humming Effect at HealingSounds.com, Amazon.com, or wherever fine books are sold.
Hello, this is Jonathan Goldman. I'd like to bring you a few moments of relaxation by offering you this opportunity to listen to some of my music. This is an excerpt of Quiet Space from Celestial Reiki. If you can, just close your eyes and take a nice deep breath as you listen to this music. If you'd like to hear more of my music, please go to Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, Apple Music, YouTube, or anywhere else you stream music. Thank you.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
And we are back with Dr. Roland McCrady.
And I'm Andy Goldman, and we are talking about heart-brain coherence. Let us get more involved and deeply connected with our own heart-brain coherence.
And Roland, you were just talking about the fact that there are, if you like, vibrational frequencies that seem to occur naturally when we are in a state of heart-brain coherence that is in resonance with the frequency of the Earth.
That's correct.
Yeah. Right.
And how does this basically overall affect, now I'm going to jump to another subject, the whole idea of global coherence?
Well, it's the, so when we look at let's say a group, let's take it before I go to global to what I call social coherence. It could be a family, a work team, sports team, whatever. The coherence at that larger team level or group level really boils down to how coherent are the individuals. Are they able to sync up with others? And so we look now, we just published a major study a couple of weeks ago, got published in one of the Nature Journal scientific reports.
Oh, nice.
That looked at heart rhythm synchronization between group members. And we've been looking at that a lot. So physiological synchronization, people getting in sync with each other, right? And it turns out to be really important. It's really it's kind of an emerging field, although there's been quite a few studies in it. It's really just getting started. But we already know that when we can physiologically get in sync with others, that is the ground state, as maybe I could say it, for pro-social behaviors. We're kinder to each other, better communication, right? Better performance. So getting in sync is important. Getting in sync within ourselves, we're talking about heart-brain coherence, but also synchronizing with others. And so that's one level, but then being in sync with the rhythms of the earth would be the other level, right? Because of this kind of global field. So a lot of benefits. Now, I think intuitively for most people, it kind of makes just sense. Well, yeah, you want to be in sync because it's more energy efficient and, right, you perform better, right? Now, being in sync with the earth, I'll give you an example of a study there's a couple of them, but one that I think kind of says it all. This was a study that looked at what's called resting metabolic rate, which is a measure of how much energy it takes just to maintain basic living functions. Okay? So this was a study by our collaborators from Lithuania that we were involved in, because we have magnetometers that are measuring the Earth's magnetic field all around the world now. And they were able to show that that the resonant frequencies in the Earth's fields are higher, and then we tend to be more in sync with them, that resting metabolic rate significantly was reduced. And this was a pretty large study. In other words, when we're in sync with the fields, it takes less. We have to utilize less energy to maintain basic life functions, right down to the cellular level. Right. So we don't have time to go into others, but I think that gives a kind of a one idea of why this is important.
No. Well, and Roland, one of the things that is coming up for me is, being in sync with those around us, being in sync with globally. But I like when you said, first of all, we need to be in sync with ourselves. Right. And I feel like there's so much stress happening on our planet now that heart-brain coherence and that simple breathing technique can really begin to reduce that stress, which is then helpful for us to get into coherence and sync with those around us. So this is vitally important stuff.
Yeah, that's really what HeartMath's all about. It's why we exist, is for these times to really have a simple system. And a lot of people in the beginnings, when they first hear about some of the HeartMath techniques, kind of, oh, that's too simple, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's intentional. We make them simple so that they can be so effective for really anyone. I mean, we have different versions, but they're basically the same thing for children from, kindergarten age or corporate executives. Right. And we work with the military a lot as well. In fact, I'm kind of honored to say, I know your son's in the Air Force, told me earlier that we developed the resilience program, the stress reduction program for the U.S. Navy for their highest risk missions. That was quite an honor and I trained about 5,000 men and women on the highest risk mission of all jobs in the military before they deployed. And the Navy actually has, I've actually trained in all the branches of the military now in that era a few years ago. But the Navy had a really good, does have a very good, what they call resilience program conceptually. But what it lacked was, lacked the skills of how do you actually do those things they're talking about? How do we maintain our composure in the middle of chaos? Right? How do we manage our emotions in those, especially in those higher stressful times? So that's what we were able to add into that, and it had a lot of really awesome outcomes, but which we don't have time to get into. So this isn't airy-fairy is what I'm trying to say. This is very practical. How do we navigate life, the stresses of modern life, with more grace, more ease, right?
This is globally important, and we're so grateful that I start out by saying that the whole concept of heartbrain coherence is really beginning to become mainstream. What a blessing that is, sir. And you are among the great purveyors of this consciousness, and we want to thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that.
And we need now to bring this section of the show to a close. If people want to get in touch with you or through your work, it's heartmath.org. There's tons of stuff. There are apps. There are all sorts of things. This is just a beginning. We wanted to let people know about this very, very important work. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes to tell you about the next upcoming show. But again, Dr. Roland McCready, thank you.
And Dr. Roland McCready, this information has been so important, and we are such proponents of heart-brain coherence. Thank you, thank you, and thank you for being with us today. And just many blessings of love and light through sound to you.
You guys have you and all the listeners have an awesome rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Quantum physics tells us that everything is vibration. You are vibration. Ancient wisdom tells us we have 7 chakras. These chakras are the vibrational energy centers of our body. They are responsible for our health and wellness. Many times, they are out of balance. When this happens, we lose our health and wellness. Now you can use the power of vibration put your chakras into balance. You don't need any instruments, nutrients, or anything else but your own voice. Learn to balance your chakras to experience health and wellness. The complete chakra chanting experience at www.healingsounds.com/chakra-chanting. Try it. It'll change your life.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
And we are back. What an extraordinary show that was, Dr. Roland McCready. Ah, what a purveyor of light and love through sound. And I just like to suggest that everybody tune in next month when we have Dr. Roger Nelson. It's the February 12th show, and he is the founder of the Global Consciousness Project. We'll be talking about global consciousness, which Dr. McCready is part of now. So everything is interfaced because we are all one, folks. See you next month. Blessings of light and love through sound.